Welcome to CBJ in 30.
I'm sure this will be a real bonding experience. Maybe one day, one of you will even write a book about it in jail.
You give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you all you want to know about your Columbus Blue Jackets and the NHL.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Now, here's your host, who has a few opinions of his own.
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
Bob McGilligan.
Blue Monday, how are you? Blue Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep.
Well, this is a Blue Monday for many reasons, but the biggest one, first and foremost, is the Pittsburgh Penguins, with their overtime victory 5-4 last night at Nationwide Arena, have now taken a commanding 3-0 lead in this best-of-7 series. That means the Blue Jackets are on the ropes, and the Penguins are cocking their fists, hoping to deliver the knockout punch. They'll have the opportunity to do that tomorrow night right here in Columbus. Welcome to a playoff edition of CBJ in 30. I'm your host, Bob McElligan. Disappointing doesn't even come close to the feeling after that game last night. You know it. I know it. If you're a Penguins fan, you don't know it. You're elated. You are breathing a sigh of relief that they were able to get through that game and get the victory. But the Blue Jackets, it's the same old story. I think they battled very hard in that game. I think they battled hard in this series, but they just haven't been able to come up with a victory. Now we're seeing it different ways. The first two games, they scored just one goal in each game. Yesterday, they get four. You would think that four goals is enough to win a playoff game, but it wasn't. It wasn't enough. And it was the Sidney Crosby, Jake Guentzel show yesterday that led the Blue Jackets down a dark path to being down 3-0 in this series. What can you say about the Pittsburgh Penguins? I mean, they're the defending Stanley Cup champs. Whether you want to hear it or not, they're the defending champs. They are good. It is not a fluke that they won the Stanley Cup last year. Nobody was counting on them to do it at Christmas last year, but they did it. And they've got experience. And we're seeing that experience with every situation in every game that has been played so far in this series. We're watching young players make plays. We're watching veteran players make plays. We're watching a goaltender that wasn't even supposed to be in the series stand on his head at points. I mean, that's what you're getting from Pittsburgh. So all of the good that the Blue Jackets are doing is being countered by the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's the difference in this series. How do you overcome that? I don't know. I hope that the Blue Jackets know, because if they don't, then the offseason starts on Wednesday. And that is supposed to be a day to travel back to Pittsburgh and play in Game 5. So we're going to find out what the Blue Jackets are really made of. They have done some good things in this series, but they haven't been good enough, obviously. When you lose three straight, you haven't been good enough. And it goes back, to me, it goes back to the end of that regular season. When they were saying it was not a problem, we lost 6 of 7. Well, now you've lost 9 of 10 when you couple it all together. And a lot of the same problems are still there. Of course, the biggest blow for the Blue Jackets is Zach Werenski leaving the game yesterday. Takes a shot that comes up off his stick, hits him below the eye. He bleeds. They do not blow the whistle, and they did not blow the whistle because the Blue Jackets did not have possession of the puck. Now, you may get irritated hearing me say that, but by rule, by definition, the officials called that the way it reads in the book. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they always call it that way. I'm not going to tell you that when they see blood, there are times when they blow the whistle, whether your team has the puck and it's your guy or not. I'm not going to say, we're not getting into that conversation. The conversation that we will have here right now is your player gets hit, your player gets injured, you must have some kind of possession. And when I say some kind of, I think the Blue Jackets just have to get a stick on the puck. And if they do that, they get a whistle. And then there's not only is there a stoppage, but there is no goal scored by the Pittsburgh Penguins in that situation. If Zach Werenski gets up and there's a pool of blood on the ice and he takes one or two strides and he falls right back down, whether the Blue Jackets have possession or not, the whistle blows, in my opinion, because then it appears as though he is really hurt. He was really hurt. But he was also down on the ice. I don't know if you can see that blood until he really starts to get up. And by rule, they called it right. Now, I'll stop right there because I'm not getting into the icing calls that weren't made that I think should have been made. I won't get into other penalties that I thought should have been called that weren't called. I'm not saying that the officials were fantastic and that they didn't have an error on the night. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, you know, you're upset about that one play, but by definition, they did it right on that one play. The Blue Jackets, four other players that were left, couldn't get a stick on the puck. The Pittsburgh Penguins kept moving it around and finally got it into the back of the net. And if you're wondering about Zach Werenski today and his status, because he came back in the third period with a full face shield, but he didn't return for the overtime because his eye swelled up so much that he couldn't see. And you have probably seen the pictures that he put out on social media last night of his face and how black and blue and swollen and just disgustingly ugly looking for a very handsome young man normally, but he was just swelled up and just, ugh. I mean, it's painful to look at. I can't even imagine how he feels. Just to look at it puts you in pain. Just makes your face hurt just looking at it. So he did return to the game. Then he had to leave the game. But as far as his status from here on out, Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella at his media availability today put everything to rest immediately.
Four questions, just an update on Zach, because I know you're going to ask. He's out. He's done for the year. Cracked cheekbone. I don't know I don't have the exact science of it, but
facial fracture.
Yeah. So he's out. So we don't have to get involved in all that.
Can you describe the type of desperation your team needs to play with tomorrow, obviously?
Yeah, it's the same type of desperation that we've been trying to play with as the series has gone on here. So, we're just a short meeting today. We'll have our main meetings tomorrow, and we'll get right back to work.
Obviously, you have to go through a playoff the first time for a kid like Wennberg. How has he played in the first three games?
I'm not going to evaluate players in the middle of a series.
John, do you want your guys facing this like it's a game four elimination game or like it's another game, just myopically or big picture?
I want my guys to get away from the rink today. I'm sure a number of them are down, an emotional loss last night. It's something they have to deal with, part of a series, and come back tomorrow with our 10 o'clock meeting, as we always do, and play as hard and with the concentration that we're always asking out of our players. Bigger stage, obviously. We know we're in a hole. It does not change how we go about our business. And, I think our team has played hard, has had some struggles along through the games here, but we're not changing our approach and how we're supposed to play and how we're preparing for the game.
John, much as you want the kind of good starts you've had, is there a price to be paid later in the game when your players invest so much energy and intensity at the start?
I don't know. I don't know if that's it. I still think we had the proper energy through the game. I thought we lost ourselves in the second period. I think Pitt turned it up a little bit. We had some struggles in our end zone, and they surged. And we just couldn't get that momentum back for a number of minutes in that second period. I think that changed the game a little bit. But I don't think it's energy. I think it's just trying to deal with those surges in a game in playoffs. Found a way to tie the game. I still think we're hanging on a little bit, but still found a way to tie the game. We really had a great opportunity to win the game off the mask. That's the way it goes. But I don't think we lost energy. I just think it's dealing with those type of surges. And for a number of minutes, we lost ourselves in trying to get it back. We weren't able to.
How does that Crosby line find soft spots? Like, do they do things that are sort of unexpected, and how do you defend it?
Yeah, we had some breakdowns. I think it's a combination of both. It's a pretty quick line. It's a pretty good player in the middle of that line. I still think at times we're in position, but we lost some coverages. The winning goal, our coverage is there, and then we leave. It's what we're eating on today. I think it's what the players are eating on today, where we need to trust our structure in those type of situations. The longer a line has the puck in the end zone, that's when you start having those breakdowns. I just think we need to keep our concentration, especially around our net, and that hurt us a little bit last night.
You played that third pair more, and they looked comfortable. Carlson played, pretty strong, pretty strong game. Did you just feel like they had deserved that ice time, or was there a reason why you played it more in this game?
Yeah, I think you can. I think it's easier to get your matches in the game, but they gave us some good minutes. This kid Carlson, I mean, we're asking a lot out of him to come into the top level after playing a few periods of pro hockey, after flying over from there to here. I think he's handled himself really well, and Harry's just a trier. Ugly as hell, but he tries and competes and gets a lot of things done that way. So able to get certain matches that we wanted easier when you're at home, and we're just trying to find more spots for him within the game.
How badly do you feel for Zach to come back from the injury he had late in the season and then to have it end like this after the years he's had?
Well, it sucks for him. It does, because I just met with him in the office today, and that's the first thing that comes out of his mouth is he's upset that he can't play. I'm joking with him, trying to take a little pressure off him during a timeout. I think it was before the power play. I forget exactly the time on the clock. I said, "Can you see?" And he says, "I could see better if I could take this mask off." And I said, "I don't think he can do that." And so I expressed my feelings last night. I felt about the situation, how he handled himself there. And I've said it all along as we get more and more questions about that guy and what type of pro he is. He is on a fast-track path to be one of the mainstays in this league.
That is quite a compliment from John Tortorella towards Zach Werenski. Mainstays in this league, not just with this team, not this organization, the league. He appreciates Werenski. He has made that clear throughout the course of the season. Every time he's been asked about this young man. Every single time. And he respects him a lot. And I respect him coming back out there. He had no business being out there in the third period. He didn't. But he wanted his team to have a chance. And he knows that the best chance they have is when he is on the ice. And he's absolutely right. That's not being selfish. That's not trying to think that you're more important than you are, because he's the best player on the ice in a skating role. Actually, in this series for the Blue Jackets, he's the best player on the ice. During the regular season, I would include the goaltender in that. I'm not doing it now. Zach Werenski has been the best Blue Jackets player on the ice. Now, let's move on here. On Twitter, at Bobby Mac Sports, Joe Smith is chiming in on this. Joe says, from the rule book, the NHL rule book, unless obvious player sustains serious injury, referee may stop play immediately. And then Joe says, is bleeding all the way to the bench with an eye injury not serious enough? He was going to the bench. He was on his way. By the time he gets up, Joe, and he starts off the ice, he's getting out of the play and letting somebody else come on. So to me, by that time, it's too late, because he's hustling to the bench. Again, get up, take a stride, fall right back down. I think you get a whistle. I do. So, again, it's frustrating, but I'm not going to hang that one on the officials. I'm just not going to do it, because by rule, they did their job. By rule, they did their job. Here's some other questions. Let me just rip right through these, and then I'll address it, okay? Jared Brown. So does Jonas Korpisalo or Anton Forsberg get the start in Game 4? Phantom says, what is up with Bobrovsky? He went from top goalie stats to the worst stats, and it is killing us. Uber CBJ fans, think Korpisalo will play the next game? Next one is, I thought I had more of those. I thought I had more. That was it. That's all I had on that? I thought I had way more than those. It just seemed like it, I guess. Listen, Sergei Bobrovsky has not been good in this series. Let's not lie about it. Now, in the first two games, the Blue Jackets scored one goal, which means that Bobrovsky has to get a shutout for his team to win. It's exactly what it means. And that is asking too much in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yesterday, scoring four times, completely different story. That should have been enough to win with this goaltender, and it wasn't. Now, why isn't it? I think the Penguins are doing a couple of things. One of them is operating from behind the net, where Bobrovsky can't see where the puck is. I thought on the first goal that Gensel scored on the power play, it was fish out of water. The shot goes to his left and misses the net. It comes off the boards, bounces back to his right. He's still looking over his left shoulder when the puck's in the net from the right. Crosby, the last goal, where was he operating from? Behind the net. Gensel again settles into a soft spot. He's right there to take the pass and bang it in. And that was off the pads. That was a trickler. This is not the Sergei Bobrovsky we saw through the regular season. Now, Sergei Bobrovsky, you can argue this point, and I will argue it. The reason the Blue Jackets are in the playoffs is because of Sergei Bobrovsky. But now he is not playing the same way. In fact, his team, at times, you could make the argument that they look almost nervous that he's not going to start to stop the puck. And that's something we haven't seen all season. They've always known that he would be their rock. And I think they're questioning what their rock is and if he's there right now. That's just how it looks to me. It's just how it looks. You go back to Pittsburgh the other night, they had their first two scoring chances, both pucks went in the net. I mean, it's not all his fault. The defense in front of him at times, I'm not just hanging it all on him, okay? But we've become so accustomed to him making huge saves that turn the tide of the game. You know, I read all these articles for the last 2 weeks saying Sergei Bobrovsky will steal a game or steal two games. He hasn't done it. And if he doesn't do it tomorrow, then he won't have another chance until next year's regular season. It's as simple as that. He has not been the Blue Jackets' best player. And that's what he was all year. They are sorely missing his leadership through play right now. And I feel terrible saying that because I thought this was going to be his year in the playoffs. And there's still time. There's still time. Because let's say this. This team at one point won 16 in a row. Regular season, yes. December, yes. But they did it. They did win 16 in a row. Right now they have to win four in a row. It is a huge, monumental task. I get it. I understand. And it is unthinkable as we sit here right now and talk about it. But if you go with the one day at a time scenario and you win tomorrow and then you go to Pittsburgh and you win on Thursday and you come back home and you win on Sunday and then you go back to Pittsburgh and you win on Tuesday, it can be done. Likely? No. Percentages back you? No. Doesn't mean it can't be done. Scott Hartnell was talking about the fact that he's been in a series like this, down 3-0, and his team came back to win. It happens. Does it look to me or you like it's going to happen right now? No, absolutely not. But that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But for it to have any chance to solidify and occur, Sergei Bobrovsky has to be better. He does. That is a fact of life. Other guys have to be better too, but he's got to be the best. He's got to turn back into a wall. Marc-Andre Fleury, for all his faults, he's been there and he's made the saves. Brandon Dubinsky has a chance to win that game in overtime yesterday. Fleury gets his face in front of the puck. That's where it went, right off the mask, right between the eyes, and up and out of play. And instead of the game being over and the Blue Jackets being back in the series, the game continues, and now they're on the ropes. So you've got to find a way. And especially when your team doesn't score much, the onus goes on the goaltender. He's got to be better. Got to be better. Fair? No. Truthful? Yes. Absolutely. Now let's talk about the defense. Werenski is out. Who's going to take his place? John Tortorella wouldn't say today. I'll talk to him tomorrow on the game day and try to get more of a gauge and a sense of what he's going to go with there. He's got Nudavara and he's got Quincy. Both haven't played in the series. They're lying in waiting. Ryan Murray's also skating. He was skating in equipment today and shooting the puck. Who knows? I'm not saying he's going in, but I'm saying maybe. So who goes in? Who takes the place of Zach Werenski? Who's going to burn up those minutes? And will you make a couple of changes and try to balance your three pairs so that you don't have to overextend the top two pairings? Speaking of that, let's talk some defense right now. And let me start with a guy who has been as solid comes throughout the regular season and throughout the playoffs. And that's Blue Jackets defenseman David Savard.
David, this has been a tough series, but especially for you guys. Well, you and Jack and Seth and Zach up until the latter part of the game yesterday. A lot of minutes being logged. I know you like to play a lot, but at times has it become almost too much, especially when you get into overtime where you're getting out of gas there?
Oh, you know, it's obviously it's hard when you play that much, but you know, I think we got a lot of rest and a lot of optional stuff like that, and I think everybody still felt good, and obviously everybody's playing through little things, and see Zach come back last night was great. You know, I think he's a true warrior and a true hockey player. You know, you can see his character of trying to come back, and it was great to see. But you know, it's just there's nothing to save it for right now. You know, we got to win games and. We'll give everything we have.
You know, it's funny. You've been in this room for a long time, been a part of this team, and you talk about Zach and his character. To see a guy that's 19 years old take a hit like that, come out and play for as long as he can, what does that say for the future of this organization? Not just his future, because if you can get guys that young to act like that, how good is it going to be in here?
Yeah, you know, for the future, I think it looks really bright. You know, I think guys that came in this year and even the last few years, you see I think about Boone too, battles with stuff all the time, and you know, he's a big leader on our group, and I think they follow these kind of guy. Artsy's been, you know, he's been a true pro. I think even this year with having a little less ice time and stuff like that, he never complained, and he worked hard every day, and I think all the young guys kind of learn from that, and you know, he's got a lot of respect around the league and in this room, and you know, to see him the way he handled himself, I think it shows to the young guys how we need to do it if we want to win.
This team is so hard to match up against because they have star players that they can split on different lines, but the Crosby line in the last couple of games has really taken over, and it's him orchestrating, but it's the young guys, especially Gensel, finishing. What does he do to find the spots that he needs to be in for Crosby to get him the puck?
You know, he's a really good player. You know, he finds his little spot that, you know, it's hard to defend. And sometimes, you know, he's not always, like, right in front of the net. He's just, you know, he finds those little area that it's hard to defend for us, and it's always, like, an in-between, should I go, should I not? And, you know, and Crosby finds him every time. So we just got to make a better job of better reads and maybe be a little more aggressive on those guys so Crosby don't have as much time to find them.
One of the playoff cliches is getting the fourth win is the hardest thing to do in a series. What do you guys have to do to make sure it's extremely hard in your building and that you get another trip to Pittsburgh?
I think it's just to focus on our game. You know, if we play our game, we can beat them. And I think for now, it's just to focus on that one game. And, you know, the building's going to be rocking again. And it's, you know, it's fun to be part of. And obviously, we'd love to be on the other side of the win yesterday. But you know, we just got to find that one win and go from there and go to Pittsburgh and try to do the same thing.
You guys have been so good all year. You've had such success. And now the adversity you face has been really in the last 3 weeks. How do you keep an even keel in that good frame of mind?
Well, I think we, like we said in the room, we just got to stay focused. And, you know, everybody's not, and, you know, obviously, like I said, we wish we weren't on a 0-3 right now. But, you know, it's about our game. And I think we've played really well in the last three games. We play really hard, and we just got to do the same thing tomorrow.
David, thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Calm and cool. There's David Savard saying all the right things. And the thing about David is he says them and then he does them. That's how he is. He doesn't get rattled. He doesn't get really mad. If he does, he keeps it under wraps. But he's very even-keeled, and that's a big compliment. You need to be even-keeled, especially playing that position. You can't get too high. You can't get too low. Well, here's a guy that plays that position that is really high, and that's because he did not think that he would be here doing this right now. Now, does he stay in the lineup tomorrow? Probably. If he doesn't, oh well. But he has gotten a chance to play in three Stanley Cup playoff games, two regular season games, and I think three games in the American Hockey League. That's his resume. 8 games in North America. But he's a former first-round draft pick, and he has spent the last couple of years playing in Sweden at an elite level in a men's league. And that's Gabriel Carlson, who had a chance to catch up with earlier today.
All right, you've gone through, what, three games of the playoffs and two games of the regular season, primed and ready for the NHL, right?
I don't know about that, but it's been a really fun trip and everything happened really quick. And, yeah, just really fun to continue playing the season here.
When you talk about everything being really quick, how fast are things moving in this series? When you're out there and the Penguins flying up and down the ice, how fast has it been? And what has the adjustment been for you to adapt to the speed?
It's been an adjustment, of course. I mean, the players are faster here and bigger and, of course, more skilled. So you got to be closer to them and give them less time. And, I think I've learned it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think you've learned pretty quickly, too. And your minutes have improved and they've picked up for different reasons. One, playing at home, you get a chance to get the better matchups and more minutes that way. And then Zach Werenski, of course, going out with the injury got you more minutes. How exciting was the overtime for you, knowing that you're going to get out there on a regular shift? There's only 5D.
Oh, of course, really, really fun and exciting. And, I mean, got to make the most out of it there. One chance, it might be a goal in the back or in the front, so you got to be really sharp out there and just be focused all the time. And, I mean, when you got a crowd in your back, it's always a good feeling to get the extra player there.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, the crowd. They were great, especially going into the overtime after the tying goal. What's that been like for you to be down there on the ice in the home building now and get a chance to kind of just feel it?
I mean, it's awesome. It's really loud, and sometimes you just gotta, you know, really recognize the situation. It's really different from home, of course, and especially in playoffs, it's been a really loud building, and I mean, it's just amazing.
When Zach Werenski gets hurt and comes back out on the ice, I mean, let's face it, if things work out the way they should, and you and him are going to play on this blue line for a long time, what did that say to you when you saw him come back out there, face swollen up and the shield on? What's that tell you about him as a player and about what, you know, kind of what's expected, what this franchise is going to become?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's really, really good and fun to see that he comes back and plays for the team. And, I mean, he's a really good player and a tough one as well. And, I mean, especially in playoffs, you got to take what it takes. And he really battled really hard and come back there. So it's, of course, really, really fun to see, and I just learn from that and take it forward.
One last thing for you. We talked about Pittsburgh, how fast they are and how fast this series is going. For you, was there a moment in any of the first games where you had to go, my goodness, I'm playing against Sidney Crosby. I'm playing against Evgeny Malkin. I mean, these are guys that you just see on TV, and now all of a sudden they're trying to blow by you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really, really cool, awesome experience. And, I mean, I didn't what I expected maybe when this season started to be in the playoffs and play against those guys, but I mean, it's just really fun and a good, see where you stand. And when you play those guys, probably one of the best in the world, and you know what you got to do better out there and trying to learn from that.
Come on, 3 weeks ago in Sweden, you didn't think I'm going to be playing against Crosby here in a couple of days?
No way. Oh, everything happened really quick, and I don't really know what's happening, just enjoying the moment.
That's right. Don't know. Just enjoy. Gabriel, thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
He's a good guy. Just happy to be here. And, you know, he could be here for a long time. He's got that size. He's kind of like Seth Jones in his build. He's tall. He's lanky. He has a long reach. He'll learn how to play in this league better than he's playing right now. And he's playing fine. I mean, he's going to make mistakes for sure. But all in all, he's playing fine for what they're asking him to do. And that's not a lot of minutes per game. And as I said, I don't know if he'll play tomorrow or he won't play tomorrow, or if they'll make some changes back there due to the Werenski injury, due to the amount of minutes that the other guys have to log. I have no idea. John Tortorella will divulge that tomorrow. But right now, Gabriel Carlson has been in there every game, and he's been okay. And I guess that's really what you're hoping. Make him okay for a guy that has that little experience of playing in North America. Tomorrow's game is at 7:30 at Nationwide Arena. Game 4, Blue Jackets lose, the offseason begins. Blue Jackets win, we go back to Pittsburgh for a game on Thursday. Of course, I've got another game day edition of CBJ in 30 coming your way tomorrow. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.